Hello, everyone. My name is Lindsay G. I am a grateful compulsive reader and food addict, recovering one day at a time. I want to thank everyone on here for being of service, helping keep this meeting going. I really appreciate it. And I want to welcome everyone who may be new. I saw a couple people in chat post that they are new to this meeting. So welcome. Welcome to this meeting. Welcome to Footsteps. I'm very excited to be here, and I'm going to start my share like how I start all of my shares, which is with a prayer. It helps ground me and center me. I am a naturally anxious person. I get stage fright despite being a musician for the past, years of my life. So I'm going to start with the third step prayer, which is located on page, let me see, 63 in the big book, if you care to read along. I just want to take a moment of silence for the sick and suffering in and out of the Zooms and rooms and everyone everywhere. I want to pray for their health, their well-being, their peace, and their serenity. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Amen. All right. I like starting off my speaking with a prayer. Like I said, it helps ground and center me, and it helps connect me to my higher power, who is who I rely on in times of trouble and in times of joy. I am so grateful to OA and 12-step recovery for allowing me to connect with a higher power, because that's something that I never had in my life before. Well, that's not true. I had a higher power before, and that higher power was food. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how that relationship with a higher power got me to a place of pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, and how I've slowly gotten able to get out from under that one day at a time. I've been told that when we share our experience, strength, and hope. We talk about what it was like, what happened, and what we are like now. I used to take notes before I shared my story, and I don't anymore. So if it's a little hippity hoppity and jumping all over the place, bear with me. I hope it'll make sense to all of you. And I trust that, I trust and hope that something I say will resonate with someone out there. That is my goal. So I have been a compulsive overeater and food addict since probably a very, very young age. I don't have a lot of memories from childhood, but the ones that I do have center around food. And that tells me that from a very early age, I had a predisposition and a preoccupation with food and feeding myself. I came from a privileged yet troubled home. I was raised by an alcoholic mother and a workaholic military father who was gone for long periods of time when I was growing up. And I moved around a lot when I was younger. I was an only child, so I spent a lot of time by myself. And as I got older, that time was spent not only by myself, but by myself in food. I turned to food for comfort, for security, to numb out, to relieve a sense of discomfort that I felt by just existing. I believe that at baseline, I am restless, irritable, and discontented, and I seek out external things to help me feel better internally. I am a very anxious person, and I was a very anxious child, and food helped ease that anxiety. It was a form of self-medication, one that I used for decades to medicate myself. I started gaining weight when I was about 10 or 11 years old. That's when my eating really started getting out of control. That's when I started binging in secret. I would come home from school before my mom got home because she worked late. And I would eat anything and everything that I could get my hands on in the house. My mom was kind of particular about the food she brought into the house. She didn't want to be unhealthy, so she brought a lot of healthy foods into my house. So I didn't have access to a lot of foods that my other friends did. And yet I still found myself able to consume large quantities of foods. It doesn't matter if it's healthy or unhealthy food, quote unquote. And I don't even personally like those terms, healthy or unhealthy. Food is food. There's no moral behind it to me in my program. There's foods I don't consume today, and there's foods I do consume, but I've taken away the good and bad labels from them because there's people like that aren't like me, people that are normal eaters that can consume those quote unquote unhealthy foods and have healthy, balanced lifestyles. But for me, that's not true. I am blessed with a disease of mind, body, and spirit. And as a result, there's certain behaviors that I cannot engage in, ones that are detrimental for me, but that aren't detrimental for others. And it took me a while to come to that mind frame. I used to be really fearful of certain foods. I would eat them regardless, but I would have a lot of guilt and shame when I consumed them. And 11 or 12 was right around the time I also started experiencing the first symptoms of depression and anxiety, which I carry with me to this day. It's around the time where my parents got separated and then divorced. So there was just a lot of upheaval, and that's when I really turned into the food. And that's when I started gaining weight. And I have been, except for about a year period of my life, or a year and a half period of my life, obese or overweight my entire life, my adolescence, my teenage years, and my adult years. I continued to gain weight in high school. I continued to eat compulsively. But this is when I started to, well, not started to, continued to really eat secretly. I would eat in normal ways around people. And then when I was at home by myself or in my car when I learned how to drive, I would eat how I wanted to, eating the foods that I wanted to. But I was trying to maintain a facade of normalcy, trying to maintain a facade of I have this and everything's okay, which is hard to because unlike other addictions that I have, my food addiction, I wear it every single day. I wear it in the way that my body looks. And there's I can kind of whistle in the dark and pretend everything is okay. But I was gaining a lot of weight, and there's nothing wrong with carrying extra weight. I've kind of stripped morality of that too, but I certainly started getting to points where there was potential for health consequences if I continued the way I was, and I continued the way I was on through my college and grad school years, my early 20s. I would try fad diets. I would try not so fad diets. I tried a lot of different ways to try and manage my eating. I remember in middle school trying Slim Fast, those disgusting shakes in the metal tins, and thinking that that was a solution to my problem, just not eating meals and just drinking this stuff. But no matter what I tried, and no matter what I tried, I always came back to the food. And I wasn't in any sort of program. And along those years, I also developed other addictions and other compulsions, which plagued me. I believe truly that I'm a person that is just predisposed and prone to wanting to escape, to wanting to numb out, to wanting to self-medicate. And I am in other 12-step recovery programs for other, in other sister programs for other issues that I have. And I have found great success and great relief for those compulsions, from those compulsions and other programs as well. Now, I know this is a focus meeting, and I actually really appreciate that because part of my story is I had weight loss surgery. I had a VSG, a sleeve gastrectomy in 2015, and the surgery was successful. I lost about 140 pounds over the course of a year and a half, 2 years, and I was able to maintain that weight loss for a little bit of time. But what the interesting thing in my experience about the surgery was, I didn't do all that was suggested to me, including getting support. And I think that had I done that, I would have been a lot more successful because I had surgery in 2015. And over the last 7 years, I have regained almost all of my weight back, which feels very uncomfortable. And it is, I try not to sit in guilt and shame today because those feelings are not helpful or healthy for me. But there's definitely some regrets about how I conducted myself after surgery. And there's a feeling of, oh my goodness, even that didn't work. But what I realize is that For me, I mentioned this earlier in my share, but I have a disease of compulsive overeating. I have a disease. I'm a food addict. And it is a physical disease that involves my body. But the literature tells me that it centers in my mind. And I had surgery on my stomach. I did not have surgery on my brain. I had surgery to address my problem and to put a break on the rapid weight gain that I was experiencing. And I was offered a reprieve. I have no doubt that if I had continued at the behavior that I would have gained another many, many pounds. And the multiple health conditions associated with carrying extra weight that I was would have reared their ugly head. I had the benefit of youth on my side, and I still do, and I cherish that. Thank you
Can
so
exactly.
much, Mary. I appreciate
You're
that.
welcome.
If I hadn't had the surgery, I don't know where I would have been or where I would be, or if I would even be alive today and what my life would look like. And I'm grateful that I had that opportunity to kind of arrest the weight gain that I was having and to re look at my eating behaviors. But they didn't stick. They didn't stick for me. And I ended up slowly regaining weight over the years. I still ate compulsively. I was able to eat around my sleeve. And I managed to start putting on weight again. And I felt so much shame for that. So again, that pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, like one more thing that I tried didn't work. But again, my disease centers in my brain. And until I was able to recognize that fully and completely before I was able to enter recovery, it's no fault of my own. It wasn't for want of trying or for needing it. It was just lack of information and lack of power. That's my dilemma. So coming into recovery, has been quite a journey, and I'll share a little bit about what it's like because I don't want to dote on the past. I have gotten a sense of freedom that I have never experienced before, not even after my surgery when I was losing weight. And I got down to a normal body weight, and it was very interesting to see how different my life was. One of the things that actually made me really uncomfortable was all the attention that I got surrounding my appearance. And that's something that is just a fact of life. People are treated differently depending on how they look. It's sad, but it's true. And that was something really interesting to engage in, to walk around at a quote unquote normal body weight and just see how differently that I was treated. And that caused me a little bit of distress too, because I wasn't prepared to handle it emotionally, mentally. I wasn't prepared. But I entered recovery. I found OA through AA in 2019, and I went to a couple meetings in person. It was pre-pandemic. And I knew that I qualified, and I knew that this was the place for me, but I wasn't quite ready to commit yet. I needed to do more experimentation, and I needed some more time of, I got this, which are three fatal words that I do not use in my vocabulary today. You hear me say a lot of like, I don't say that, I don't do that. But what I've learned from experience is that there are certain phrases and certain thought processes that I try very hard not to engage in because they're not helpful and they're not healthy. And part of my experience in recovery in program is changing my attitudes and outlooks upon life. And that's part of the promises, or the 9-step promises. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. And part of that comes without me working it, but also part of it comes with me having to work it. I have to be repetitious, and I have to develop those good habits. So when I find myself being self-negative and down on myself, I have to say, "Oh, Lindsay, thank you for sharing, but that's not useful." So I ended up going back out and spending some more time experimenting and spending more time in the food. And I refound OA last fall, and I came in again and I got abstinent. What I did not do was start working the steps. I was going to meetings pretty routinely, and I was sticking to a food plan, and I had a little bit of success, and I lost a little bit of weight. And it's not about the weight, but for me, that's a good barometer of if I'm in the right path, because in my experience, if I'm not losing, or maintaining, then that's a problem. And then I went out. I planned a one-day binge, and it lasted for multiple months. And that was, again, pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. And I came crawling back to the rooms earlier this year, and I found relief again because I was willing at that point to do whatever it took or whatever it takes in order to recover. I've seen how 12-step recovery works for other issues that I have in my life, and I've been very successful at it. And I'm finally at a place where I can turn my food over to my higher power, who I have a strong connection with today. And I immediately got a sponsor, and I immediately started working the steps and got abstinent again. And the amount of relief that I have felt in working the steps is pretty unique. And it's happened in a short amount of time. I am very grateful for that. There is a sense of neutrality that I've gotten already around food. I commit my food the night before. I have a sponsor that I call in the morning and tell what I'm going to eat. And I don't think about food in between my meals. And that has freed up so much time. Like, I'm actually bored now. I'm having to find things to do to fill my time. I do a lot of meetings. I do a lot of program work. I sponsor in other fellowships. I'm constantly tuned into my recovery because I have to be. This is a life or death thing for me. My disease is progressive. Thank you so much. My disease is progressive.
5 minutes.
Thanks, Mary. My
You're
disease is
welcome.
progressive. It is incurable and it is fatal. And there are life-threatening consequences if I don't work a program one day at a time. And there is so much hope in these rooms. There is so much hope in the rooms. And if you are new or struggling, I encourage you to keep coming back. There is a beautiful fellowship here at OA. I found people that understand me, know what I'm going through, understand my struggles. They say things better than I could have said them. They say things that I were thinking. And it is through this two-step approach, these two things I get in program, this solution in the form of working in the steps and the support in the form of the fellowship, that really is going has been what's been successful for me and what will keep me successful one day at a time. And this is really a one day at a time program. I mentioned my anxiety, and if I think about having to stay abstinent or sober for the next week or the rest of my life, or oh my God, I'll never be able to eat XYZ food again, I panic and my brain starts getting squirrely. And what do I do when I panic and I feel squirrely? As a food addict, I go to the food. And I'm trying to foster behaviors and thought processes that keep me safe and keep me neutral and protected. So I take it one day at a time. In early sobriety, in those first few days and weeks, I had a lot of cravings and I had a lot of desire to eat compulsively. And what I would say to myself is maybe you can have that food tomorrow, or maybe you can binge tomorrow. But for today, you committed your food and you're going to stick to it. Today, you committed to abstinence, whatever that looks like for every individual person. And I have been able to do that one day at a time. I've started releasing weight again, which feels really good. And it's not about the weight. But again, that is one tool in my arsenal that I can use to tell how I'm on track. And I'm moving in the right direction today. I hear in the rooms that we come for the vanity and we stay for the sanity. And someone earlier in the meeting, I'll close with this, mentioned, weighing themselves only once a day. And that's what I've had to commit to doing as well. I found myself unhealthily and unhelpfully, obsessively weighing myself to see how am I doing? How am I doing? And that wasn't healthy for me. It's not good because it's not about that. And that's not neutral. That's obsessive. So I've turned that over. I have a little God box that I write things in that plague me or trouble me or things that I have to turn over to my higher power. And I've put that in my God box, and I'm only weighing myself once a month. And it's hard, y'all. I had to put my scale away because I kept on seeing it. But ultimately, I think I've gotten a lot of freedom from that too. So, in my last 30 seconds, I just want to welcome, encourage everyone to keep coming back. This program is beautiful, it is transformative. It's been working for me, and it works for so many others that come before me and will come after me. So, welcome to OA. Welcome home. I hope you got something out of my share, and I look forward to getting to know you. And with that, I will close.